blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatiampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatiampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi, dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha nirodha gamini patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. And if I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Looking at how amazing it is that when we're asked what to look at, that's the one time that the voice is just, there's nothing here.
There's nothing.
Just practicing, having that same state as I move around in the world, and how it's just, that's just so much easier when asked, what would you like to talk about? And just this, like, there's nothing there, and wanting to practice just putting my hands up and just talking about what's there, even though
there's nothing,
even though I feel there's nothing there.
So even though there's nothing, there's no voices, you feel like you want to put your hands up because you want to practice being able to, even though there's nothing coming up,
yeah,
to be able to just put your hands up and share anyway.
Just looking at a process that, as I say that, that's been with me my whole life, especially it's present when in some kind of a situation where there's other people, you know, or maybe a meeting or something, and folks are asked for their input, and input, why input? That's just the default, and then, you know, I stand up and walk away, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and I could have said this, and I could have said that, just watching that whole thing go on.
So like when you're asked that question, it's like there's nothing there, but when you walk away, all of a sudden there are many points that come up. There are things that occur to you. That you could have said, or are things that you wanted to.
Yeah, it would have been really useful.
Would have been really useful. And so it's like kind of like deer in the headlights or something.
Yeah, sort of. And I can just see like it's probably just it's a real karmic pattern to keep me small. Mm. You know, it's like just kind of like invisible sort of. Mm. And just stay quiet, stay low, and.
So it's like kind of like a stay quiet, stay low, mm-hmm. a karmic habit to stay invisible.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that it doesn't, so you don't get to participate or, that's how you would describe it. But it's because then later on, I would project that the voices would have something to say about, oh, you had all these things to say.
Right. Yeah, and as you reflect that, I just say it's like not even about me, you know, it's about just letting life express itself through this form and the way it wants to be expressed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like kind of not letting that happen.
Right, not letting that happen, not letting yourself be prevented from sharing whatever it is that's coming up for you. Be that life expressing
itself. Yeah, just whatever, however life wants to come come through and then just not, not getting the joy of having that, that experience. Mm-hmm.
The joy of the experience of being able to express whatever life wants to express through you,
right.
Because the first thing that happens is there's nothing. There's looking and there's nothing there. And then so it's how interesting for you to be able to put your hands up when there is nothing there. So you kind of, you have to have, there's something that's going to come up, whether it's I don't have anything really going on.
Yeah, and I'm just aware right now as I'm sharing, just, it's starting to come in with a whole lot of like, what the heck are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
Just trying to stop that sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then how are you going to get yourself out of this one?
Uh-huh.
How are you going to, how are you going to wrap this up?
How are you
going
to,
where are you going with this? And all the things that it does.
Mm-hmm. So now it's concerned about how you're going to be able to wrap it up and get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going with it?
Right.
First there was nothing, and then there's nothing.
Yeah.
Talking about that process.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's pretty exciting to just put one's hands up and see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And, to be okay with all of it.
Yeah. Very exciting place to be.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
This feels sort of like my version of that, possibly, that I realize it really is an across-the-board kind of a process that I'd love to look at some more. So I've been sort of thinking of it as the muddle process.
The muddle?
Yeah.
Mm.
And one of the forms it takes, a very pervasive form, is there's so much, and often in a positive kind of way.
Mm.
For example, there's so many practice things
right.
I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens a lot in sharing in group. It happens when I'm recording, where, let's see, there's so much, I can't quite say it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite, that's not really. And the pervasive message is, that's not quite it.
That's not quite it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sharing something in your recorder or things that are coming up, and you want to be able to do these practices. It's just something about it is not quite it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the muddle is, what I suspect is, there's a great deal of clarity. And the way conditioned mind attempts to take that is to create its opposite, to convince me that I'm muddled.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's not it, or that you're muddled, you're confused, you don't know what that's. There isn't anything. It's almost like, there's nothing, and then all of a sudden there is.
Yeah. I've long suspected that. That conditioning doesn't have anything in and of itself to work with. It has to work with what sort of life brings to the party,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Right.
And that, so it tortures a particular form with almost like the opposite of what is so.
Mm-hmm.
So if, I don't know what would be, suddenly I can't think of anything. But, in this case, in other words, that I suspect when there's a dangerous clarity, dangerous
mm-hmm.
to conditioned mind,
mm-hmm.
then the weapon it uses is its opposite.
Right.
Is to convince me that, things are so unclear, and gosh, there's just so much, and I'm not sure which one, and...
Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. muddled and go over here and there, to get anything about the clarity that was there.
Mm-hmm.
So that it works with its opposite. In order to, because it has nothing that it can work with on its own. It has to take something from life
mm-hmm.
and twist it into its opposite so that oh, there's no, suddenly there's no clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's see. So, how long have I been practicing with that? Well, all kinds of things. And that is really one of the things. And actually, back to the, that's not quite it. When I look at sort of, you know, what's the problem here? Mm-hmm. Because of course there isn't one.
Right.
So how is that happening? Mm-hmm. That feels like what it does to create the illusion of a problem is to introduce that's not quite it.
Right.
Because what it feels like is, so there's so many things. Well, any one of them is good,
right.
Or fine, or viable, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this constant process of like this, no, mm-hmm. this, no, mm-hmm. this, no.
So any one of them are fine, but if you land on one, it's not. That's not it.
That's not quite it.
That's not quite it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it is that sort of subtle. You know, it's not the gross, oh, you, mama, you know, that sort of thing. It's, no, I'm sorry.
No. Try again.
No. And I had a big sort of insight this morning into it, which is that it's like this process of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost, not quite, gotta get there soon. You know, just a little to the left, no, a little to the right, instead of just whatever it is, just fully being here, doing this, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, just instead of being here fully present with whatever it is that you're doing, it's just going to tweak it here or there, a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, but not quite it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always constantly in relationship to what its assessment is of what it is that you're doing. Is that?
Yes, yeah. Well, and what I just saw when you reflected that was, however low grade, it's attempting to maintain some level of dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard Sherry say in a recent group something along the lines of, you know, dissatisfaction is what conditioning does, because that's what creates the illusion of separation. And in order to have suffering, you have to have the illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I suspect, that's what it's doing. It's just attempting to create always some level of dissatisfaction.
Right, because it's never quite it, so that you're always trying to find what it is.
Yeah.
So it's this, even though it's low grade, it's constantly creating an illusion of separation that this experience is not the one that you should be having.
Mm-hmm.
Or just even if it's subtle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas initially it's just like there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you pick one, and there's always another one that's different than that one to go with.
Right. Yeah.
Eventually, you know,
exactly.
There's just those, which kind of goes to the waiting part.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. Last time that wasn't quite it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Like not, that's it. Not fully committing to this, because there might be a better practice tool.
Right.
You know, that would be slightly more effective.
And if I'm going to be doing this practice tool if I'm committing to it for any length of time,
right. I want to make sure it's like a stake. Boy, the stakes are high here.
Can't
commit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right, because if it can get you that it's not quite it, but
yeah, it's always just around the corner.
Yeah.
And the freedom in just I don't even quite know how to say it, but. Yeah, just, just this here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of the hands going up, it seems like. It's
mm-hmm.
like, this here now, I'm going to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. And practice with what's here right now, rather than something that's, I'm being told about.
Yeah, and that, I was talking to someone recently, that place of trusting that life will inform. You know, so if it starts to go in a direction, I'm trying to figure out which one. Just figure, I'll just be still.
Yeah.
Until life presents whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing, and okay, good, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And trusting that then if there's something else, then that will, good, life will present that, good.
Yeah, it's that you're not in control of this experience, or that it's not going in any particular place, like it would try to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Let, you know, actually I forgot this, but an analogy came through, you know, sort of letting life do its thing. I was thinking about how when Sadie was a puppy and she got parvo, she got so sick, and it was right soon after we got her. And so she was at the vet, and there's nothing they can do for a dog when it has parvo. It's puppy disease, and it's very, very, it can be deadly. It's very, I think it works anyway. Easily a puppy can die from it. And there's no cure for it. So all they can do is support the dog as the dog's immune system works, does what it does. And that I was looking at that in this context this morning of just, you know, I'm not going to be the one to do anything. All I'm doing, it's like my only job is just to show up and support the human as life takes care of it, and that does what it does.
Right. Yeah, and how you do that, it sounds like, is support the human in choosing whatever life will inform the human to do or to be, rather than idea about how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. And again, I've talked about this many times, but back to the, you know, so instead of going to conditioned mind for a mental process of what to do about something, like do the physical things I know, you know, drink plenty of water and, you know, do the exercises I want to do and do the, you know, the physical things that make the choices that create, that support the whole system.
Yeah, and create an environment in which that human can thrive in there, and then everything else is kind of just being formed as things occur.
I really like that analogy a lot with the taking care of the physical form, or just doing all we need to do to support the system, just trusting that the practice and the transformation will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of that is to engage fully in what practice makes available, for me anyway, because I've got a big karma to not do that and to hold something back for me. And I've just been seeing that the more I jump into practice and the more I give, the better I feel, the more energy I have, the happier I am. That karma, which says it's happiness producing, actually isn't happiness producing at all. It's just energy sucking.
Yeah, well, the energy of I'm going to hold off and do something for me is, you know, usually a sign that I'm going to do something for ego, get something for it, rather than jumping in and participating in practice, which doesn't support it at all.
Right. Yeah, now, of course, it doesn't present it that way.
No.
So it's a little tricky to catch on to, because it seems like I'm supporting the system by this.
Right.
I'm doing what I need to do to make sure that I have the energy that I need and that I'm happy and all of that, but there's little subtle choices in there. It, you know, it's just who am I that I'm, who is it that I'm supporting? Is it, am I supporting what's the being? It's not even a being, really. It's just the life that's within me that's the same as the life that's outside of me, or the separate ego that wants something for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how easy it is to rely on the physical as a way to, you know, anchor into that practice, you know, because the physical is always here and present. You know, it's like taking care of the body, showing up, practicing.
Yeah, and the kind of the extra that I add to it is following, this is for me anyway, following the form. Mm-hmm. I just keep seeing that over and over and over again, that that's all that's required of me, especially as a monk, but just as any kind of practitioner, I think, to just follow the form. You know, the schedule, the taking advantage of following the guidance that's offered, following the practice opportunities that are there, just following the form. And that's really all I can do. Everything else takes care of itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everything else will be informed within that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll whatever, you'll get the information about what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been amazed because I've been practicing with this. I talked about this on recently, I think it was on Thursday, so it's probably going to be the same thing, but it continues to be the same thing. Just been amazed that that there's a willingness to do that. Like, it just suddenly occurred to me a couple weeks ago, I really want to sit. You know, that's what I want to do. You know, this winter time, there's no point going back to my hermitage at 7:30 because it's 32 degrees in there. You know, and so why not? And it's you know, somewhat warm in the meditation hall. So why not sit? And so I've only been a couple of days. I've only had the opportunity a couple of days, actually, but I've been doing that. And there's something, I mean, I could say I love it, which is true, but you know, I don't always. It's kind of like Sherry was saying the other day, maybe it was on Thursday, it doesn't matter how you feel.
Right.
You just doing what you're committed to. And so I decided, I really want to sit. And so, like last night, it was going to take a lot to talk me out of it because I really wanted to do it. But, you know, it's 6:30. Oh, boy, can't wait. You know, it gets to be about, you know, 7:05. We're finishing meal cleanup. And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, it's late. I'm tired. But it doesn't matter how I feel. I just want to go sit. And, you know, and it's not like there's anything particularly spectacular happening in my sitting. There isn't. But just getting up from that when I got done, I just felt good. I felt like solid in myself. Like I really want to, I keep thinking, you know, I'm elbowing out this time for me karma. Because otherwise it would have been time for me, and me is in quotes.
Right.
But I don't want to do that, so I'm elbowing out. Let me fill it up with something that I know is going to support me, because sitting, no matter how it goes, will support me. Mm-hmm. So just elbowing it out. And then I got up and I got these, the thing is, I've been putting this off for a really long time, but my vision is fading. Is changing, and I have these eye exercises I want to do. There's just like it's a 60-day program to try to get your vision back. So I'm on like day 14 or 15 now. Mm-hmm. But you know, and that takes like 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so I'm set. Then I've got this amount of time, and get back to my room to do the eye exercises, and then it's bedtime.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have like a whole schedule. Like when you said the schedule supports you, it sounds like you have another schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's a continuation of the formal schedule, of course. But it's like it's a form that you're following that supports the human, and that there's no real wiggle room in it. It's like I recently heard a comment about how, you know, we make these commitments because it doesn't matter how I feel. If I say I'm going to call, you know, Grandpa Lou on Sunday at such and such time, I don't feel like it. I just do it anyway.
Is it Grandpa Lou? Is he a cartoon character?
But yes.
Yes. Sorry, that's inappropriate interruption there.
It's okay.
I think so. And it's funny because in a way it's true, there's no wiggle room. But the other thing I'm practicing at the same time, I actually am doing this on Sundays, do a little kind of, you know, what plan for the week, kind of what I want to try to accomplish. But what I write at the bottom of it is, okay, so with the ideal comes the actual. And what we're practicing is letting life decide.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with the sitting, it's not a rule. Mm-hmm. It's an intention. Right. I would really want to sit. I want to. Because if it becomes a schedule that's rigid, like I have to,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to want to.
Right.
And then it's gonna be hard in a contest and stuff.
Well, it's just like, it allows conditioning to come up with that, it won't stop conditioning coming up and saying, oh, you don't feel like it, it's getting ready to go to sleep. But there's a, if it's under the, if it's something that you know you want to do, it can never really fully convince you that it's not something you intended to do it because you know that it supports you.
Yeah, and so I want to. I want to leave it in a place where I want to. Right. And it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, like today, so the rule is, there are no rules today. There's all these things that I would love to do, mm-hmm. and but none of them can, if any of them just should, then we have to stop and regroup, mm-hmm. because that's going to mess it all up. And so, you know, I mean, there's actually things, I mean, it's work projects, basically, is the things. And, you know, or I could go for a long walk if I want to, but it has to be what I want to. And I woke up this morning, and, you know, at the normal time, I can't help that, and, you know, it's really dark. And, well, all right, let's go, because I want to. You know, I want to get up and participate. And if it became a should, I would just be laying there going, oh, God, this stinks, you know, hate this, even though, like, the content would be exactly the same.
Right. Yeah, it's just coming from a different place. It's a process that you that's there that you're noticing. Because mm-hmm. if it's coming from a should, it's just no fun.
Mm-hmm.
If it's coming from I want to, it is fun.
Yeah, and it feels like there's an openness in there for life to decide. And life's going to choose the thing. It's not going to choose the easy thing, typically. Mm-hmm. It's going to choose the thing that's really challenging. Mm-hmm. But feels good and is fun if I am going along with life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting, too. And to trust that. Because some things I want to do are kind of hard in the sense of threatening to my conditioned system.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't have to take responsibility for that. That's the kind of the error I've made so many times in the past. Is I have to break through this or push through it, or I have
right.
to elbow conditioning out of the side to be able to do it. But I can just say, well, there are the rules. Sky's the limit. We can do anything you want. What's going to be the most fun? And then life comes in and says, well, I think the most fun thing would be to do this thing.
Yeah. And it presents you the information that this is the thing to do. And it can be challenging or whatever it is, but it's almost like it's informing rather than what I want to do
mm-hmm.
at any given moment. It's like, like out of a should or some sort of idea about what. Kind of like what they're talking about, actually. It's rather than an idea about it, it's occurring in the moment, and we can either. Not go along with it or go along with it, but get an idea about what it is that...
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And it includes the whole picture, like what would be kind to me,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes I need to not work, I need to rest.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need to not work or rest, I need to just blow off some energy by getting some exercise or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, it has all the pieces, and it's just kind of lining up the ones. In these really interesting ways, like this thing, I actually volunteered to do something this afternoon for the monastery. It just arose to do. And it just seemed like it would be such a good thing to do. And my offer was not accepted, which I thought was interesting. And that actually just happened yesterday. But then it has lined up since then. It's almost like, I mean, I might be kind of making it up, but... But it's like I can see the guidance of it. Mm-hmm. Like no. Here's the path for today.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't it. Mm-hmm. Here's the path for today, and I don't know. I just feel myself stepping into something that's really kind for me. Is going to really take care of me.
Yeah, rather than it's something that. It's interesting. You said that you saw guidance on it, and that's really, and then the guidance was not to do what it is that. That would be
mm-hmm.
the thing to do.
Yeah, and it's funny because it felt like the impulse. I felt like that came from life, and I think it
uh-huh.
did. It's like,
uh-huh.
oh, there's a need. I can meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it's going to get met is on Sunday afternoon, probably. And
uh-huh.
so, hey, I'll do that. So I feel like that comes from life, but then the response also comes from life.
Exactly, right.
And then somehow those two things come together, and then this other thing comes out that is feels like it's exactly what takes care of me.
Yeah, when you described it, it's like everything plays off of other things, and if there's no idea about how it's supposed to go, then you're really flexible, and you can. The next thing will present itself rather
mm-hmm.
than this dead set track or another should or an idea about it.
Mm-hmm.
Susan.
So I'd like to look at, so there was a. Just missing, let's see, how was it said? That's not quite it, with some what was being just talked about. So I have this thing that goes on with not accepting what is, so I resist what is, so, and it, ego, takes important content. So in this case, it's the monastery and practice and children, and it separates them. And so what it does, and I was watching just as everybody was talking, is it uses the years of how I've trained and practiced and the way I have committed against practicing with life as it is right now. So it's super busy right now. It's been super busy kid-wise. And so what it says is, so on Thursday night they had this Christmas project, and this is what it says. And I didn't even realize it was doing it to me. It's so painful to see. But it said, oh, you can't go to group. One more time. How long has it been? It counts the days. Oh, and last Sunday I had this thing, and with Clara. It was a mother-daughter thing. And it comes in and says, oh, you are no longer a serious student of Zen if you choose that. Oh, we're going to group. And so it uses, and so it I really could relate with, you're just missing it, Susan. You know, you're just, it's not quite it. You know, but it doesn't have an answer for what it would be, because, of course, if I chose to go to group instead of, like, well, going to Modesto with the rest of the girls and the moms, I'm sorry, Clara, you know, I'm going to be a spiritual student of Zen, you know.
You're letting your daughter down.
Then it would, but I was thinking about P-Birds, you know, we had the P-Birds at the monastery when I was here, and I've said this a lot, but, I would just get the porch clean. Oh my gosh. And I remember bending down, I've said this too, but anyway, I was bending down, cleaning it, and Sherry happened to be here. And she came up and whispered, you know what this is preparing you for? Oh! She walked out. I had no idea what she meant. She meant kids or whatever, but she knew that was a goal. So anyway. But I would resent those P-Birds. You know, I'd see them coming, and I would go out and stand guard on the porch, you know, shooing them away. And it feels like that's what I do with my life, rather than this.
Don't muddle up my life, because I'm trying
exactly.
To keep it
clean. This, rather than this is it. You know, you are a you know, and it is that same energy, like resistance. You know, I really can't wait till we do this resistance email class, because I so feel it and am watching it right now. But there's like a, there's that, this you're not quite doing it right. You're not quite doing it. This can't be it. And this can't be it. And then it doesn't give me, of course, another alternative.
Well, that's an interesting part. It doesn't give you an alternative.
It doesn't, right.
It's just going to say that it's not it.
Right. Which is fascinating. Well, it kind of does that. Pull the wood. That's it, and then no, not quite.
Right. You know. Yeah, it doesn't have to go all the way back to the other content. It could just say that what you ended up doing wasn't
right.
Didn't turn out.
I could so
right,
relate
you know.
It, just, but I didn't really even realize that that's what it was saying. Hence, preventing me from actually enjoying the Christmas pageant. You know, because I should be a group.
Yeah. Well, there is a separation though.
Or Sophie should be sitting still. You know, it's just always, there's always something that it is telling me to make it just miss the mark. And the only solace that I get, is that sitting still. You know, I've said that a lot, but I have it on my recorder. And you know, the whole thing that says is, this is it.
Right.
This is it.
Well, that's the lie. I mean, it's saying this isn't it, and
right.
It is.
Right now, I know, exactly. So it's been super helpful to be, wait a minute, you know, when I catch it, wait a minute, this is it, this is what I'm supposed to be practicing with, because this is it, and you know, in the sitting still, this is God, pretty much, you know, this is the stepping stones, or however it says it, you know, this is it, right now, whatever I'm doing is it. And I also like that thing about the vet, you know, I am to set my life up to support this person to see it, you know, or to whatever. I've got to set the structures up.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for me, content-wise, it's being hard to set up the structure within life when I can't get to group, because there's such a huge belief.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's making it clear that in order for you to be practicing you need to be a group. And how convenient it is that you're not here in groups, or you're not practicing, so it makes two things that don't have to be mutually exclusive.
I feel so sorry for myself with that self-hatred, because, I mean, I record, you know, I mean, it's not true, but it says it's true, and I'm like, oh, yeah, God, I'm lame, I haven't been in, like, all right, well, can I, and you know, it's just, it totally takes me away from, you know, it's getting what, it's working for it, you know, ego, it takes me away from, wait a minute, the sun's shining.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. This is what I'm training for. And I will get to go to group on Sunday. It's in the schedule. And until then, we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we're going to be really present to it. It doesn't say that to me.
No, of course not. No.
It doesn't. And, yeah, it's my religious side, you know. I mean, this practice so worked for me in the beginning. Because, you know, just there were a lot of, like, clear ways, you know, it was kind of obvious ways you could practice. Mm-hmm. And so my ego sort of grabbed that, okay, every 3 months I need to go, and then I need to live at the monastery, and then I need to move near the monastery, and then I need to go to group two. You know, there was like this whole system being set up in my head that I completely missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could be doing all those things and feeling like you need to be someplace else other than that, doing other things.
I could, but I think I got really locked into I'm doing it right.
You're doing it right.
I think
this is the right way to do it.
I think so. And so when I can't...
It doesn't show you that you're actually doing practice while you're out there.
Well, and it doesn't show you that
you're recording and listening.
Well, it didn't show me that it was actually setting it up. I think it was setting it up rather than me coming to group. I mean, I came to group and disidentified, and it was fine. But that's that belief about... group became somewhat of like an, I don't know, I mean, the word that comes to mind is an addiction. There was like a, I can't practice unless I have that.
How convenient.
I know. It is super convenient because it's really compelling. Like somebody down deep still really believes. You know, it's that freedom, I think, that Dave was pointing at, or at least, you know, there wasn't a lot of freedom in it. There's still like this fear of, well, if I miss, I'm going to never come back again, which is totally not true.
Uh-huh.
But that's what it says. Well, one miss, you know. But on the other hand, there is a, you got to watch for that. Oh, I'm right by the fire. I should go to work tonight. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, just important for me to keep watching because I want to know what's running my...
Yeah. Well, keeping an eye on it, you know, what it's saying, what it's doing, what it's trying to convince you of, and how it leads you to miss what's actually there.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Jim.
Well, I just watched an interesting thing happen. In like the last couple of minutes, some puzzle pieces sort of fell together. And then all this emotion came up. And the message with the emotion is, well, don't talk about that, because you'll cry and you have enough trouble speaking anyway, and it's embarrassing to cry. So, right as the emotion came up, there was a belief that it was authentic. And I remember years ago, the guide suggesting that what feels like the really tenderest emotion can be a ploy to get you to shut up. So, I think I can say all of this. I mean, I'm pretty aware that when I actually say it out loud, it's not going to sound like something a person would say during private anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. My life is changing. There it is. physical problem that if I can't address it, one of my major preoccupations, we're really going to have to curtail playing golf. And so I look at that, and I think about families seeking treatment, and I get messages from all different sides. This is the part that just sort of came together for me. I haven't noticed that all of these messages are just clashing into each other, about what to do. The primary message is whatever you do, the first thing you do has to work.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And I just saw that I've been believing that. You have to make the right decision. You have to know what to do and do it right the first time.
Even though there's all this clashing information.
So don't do things. Don't try stuff. Get it right. Think it through. Think it. Make it right through thinking about it first, and then do that. So that's a just excellent scan to see through. And then there's a lot of frustration and a kind of depression and despair that the problem is there to begin with.
That shouldn't really be there, or that it's this thing. It's hard that it's hard that it's there.
I think to sort of stay with this, I think that the mentor is saying it's winter time. Take care of yourself. This is when it really gets bad. But the kind of the gung-ho golfer person says, well, you know, it's not that cold. Look how pretty it is. I don't really particularly want to, but it'd probably be better if I did keep playing. And I believe that one, and that's what I do. And then I wind up in a pretty disabled place.
So that's what you primarily do, is that one shows up and that's the one that you kind of go along with and just...
Yeah, because it seems correct. It seems like if I weren't a wuss, I would go out there and play all winter.
So if you weren't a wuss, you'd go out there and play all winter. And you'd have a disabled place with it.
Yeah, so I think... to say all this stuff out loud. Because what's really going on is the physical self is having a problem. I guess we could look at it as a problem. There's something going on physically that needs taken care of. And I'm getting talked out of it. By all these beliefs and shoulds and better ideas and stuff. Which is kind of understandable because I just sort of bulldozed my way through physical problems in the past.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the typical way to do it.
Yeah.
Bulldoze, that part shows up and says, just go out there, because you would be a horse if you did.
Yeah, but eventually he would say,
this
isn't, that's not happening. Combination of the nature of the injury and I suppose aging, it's not happening that way.
So now you're looking at what we can do to address that too, because it sounds like there's another sort of side of it too, where you're looking at what the best way to do it is, and the belief that it has to work the first time. The first one has to do it.
Yeah.
There's no trying, so you have to just think your way through it.
Yeah.
As you not do anything.
If I do my homework correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't waste a lot of time and effort doing something that's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, it sounds like there's some emotion under there too.
Yes, and there's judgment. I've talked about this here about a million times. There's your judgment that the content is off.
Oh, judgment that you bring up something in the content of the realm of golf.
I think the real content is going against the old pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the real content, is going against the pattern.
Yeah.
The one you laid out, it says that, and it's beautiful, out and go out and do it. The gung-ho, is that it, the pattern?
Yeah. I don't want to have to ask for help.
But you should somehow be able to do it on your own, or figure it out, or it'll heal itself, or fix itself.
This has kind of been the year of looking at failure for me.
You're looking at failure?
Yeah. How I started it earlier in the year talking about how every morning I wake up in failure and despair.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning. And that has changed. And this feels like an area ripe for plunging me back into failure and despair.
Mm-hmm.
And something that is avoiding it. I don't want to do that. What if I fail?
Mm-hmm. You don't want to do what?
I don't want to. I don't want to find out there's not much that can be done. I don't want to find out that you've got to get on a program, this program, and do it every day of your life, or it won't work. Because I'm not good at that. I have historically not been good at sticking with the program. Failure.
Uh-huh. But somehow it'll come out to the assessment that failure.
Yeah. So I'm doing all of that. Uh-huh. That whole structure just goes around and around here.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of
right.
giving any information.
Right, it's like, it's got a whole plan about how what it's going to be like, what it's going to mean about you with you.
So I'm going to start making phone calls in there. The end.
Thank you.
I could just, I can also relate to that older living the way through. And I've been looking at that too. It's just so used to just, I guess, allowing this body to be used as a tool of condition, you know? Just pushing through. That's not really happening. It's going to get better. I don't have to do anything about it. I can just keep going, you know, at that same sort of listening to that same voice, you know, go, you got to keep doing this, you got to go harder, faster. If you can't do it, it means X, Y, and Z about you.
It means that, but you can't go that route because that's what it'll mean.
Yeah, that you're not somehow a worthwhile person, if you have to ask for help. You know, all of those stories just get put into place that, I just remember, I think it was this week, being reminded that, being in the body is just one of the fastest ways to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, to just really be in the body and to be aware of it and the sensations and the, you know, just having a body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is just, and I think just such a way conditioning has operated in my life. You know, not to have a body, just not like a mind.
Well, to use the body.
To use the body,
yeah. You know, without any regard to it or
right.
life, what life is informing you.
Yeah. And without bringing that, there's a lot of emotion right now for me too, you know. It's like what was talked about earlier too, you know, just looking at, asking, what is it that life wants me to do? And instead of what is it that some, you know, hateful standards of conditioning want me to use this body for.
Right. Yeah, wow, that's so clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's real hard to put the brakes on that addiction to just, you know.
Because it's been like driving
a long time.
You know? Could have even been there, like, you know, when the body was, you know, different, you know, when it was able to, like, lift all this or whatever, do all this.
Yeah, it seems like a really, really old, something that's been in place for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, aging, you know, I'm old, and that, I don't describe myself as elderly yet, but that's just around the corner. And you know, if I have any luck, you know. But I can see that I don't know what I see, if it's all that clear, but it's part of the process of life, I guess, you know. If you get to that place of being elderly and you're still at that place of, I'm not going to ask anybody for anything, what a whole world of hurt. You know, it just is, seems like sooner or later you need to learn that that's a gift that life offers us.
So that's what life is actually saying.
Yeah.
Or that's offering us as an assistance to the karma that we have been kind of avoiding or not been able to address until...
Right.
Till now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe there is, you know, in that place of no separation, it doesn't have to be looked at as, you know, you horrible, needy thing. You know?
Right. That's where the practice seems to come in. It's like to practice the kindness that we know is possible, and extend it in this area where it seems like conditioning still has its foothold in it, where it's going to use the body for its evil purposes.
An opportunity to explore kindness in that area. I just feel, softness in my heart to just think about that. And the gift that is actually for this body and for other folks around too. To take care of oneself as kindly as possible. So it's kind of put the shift on my Sunday afternoon. Well, yeah, because I get to that place too of like, oh my gosh, there's all these, there's X, Y, and Z to do. And it has to be done, and, don't take a breath. Don't relax. Don't have fun. Just keep going.
Keep going.
the lack of kindness in that. Do you plan to just practice saying, hey, life, okay? what would be fun? And somehow the rest of it, I guess, gets taken care of.
Yeah, which it always does.
It always does. And it goes back to that, well, it always does, and it doesn't have to be my my organization plan, my control plan for how it's going to get done.
Taking it out of the hands of conditioning.
So anyway, very good.
Thank you.
Well, I was just saying, that waking up every morning into failure and despair has stopped because I made a change in behavior which led to a change in consciousness. I didn't think my way into a new way of acting. I acted my way into a new way of thinking. And that's the process. That's the thing to just keep doing. It's different content.
To acquire different behaviors.
But it's the same process.
Yeah. And you have an experience of doing that.
And it's, to me, that feels miraculous.
Thank you.
Really good. What was that? I'm not going to think my way into a new way of acting, but act my way into a new way of thinking. That's really, really good. That describes my experience perfectly. It's funny that it should be that way. It seems backwards from the way it's supposed to be.
Because it's like, I've got to figure it all out before I actually do anything, but it's sort of not, it's back to the hands going up.
Yeah, the action comes from insight. It's like, oh, I see. And then I go. And then after that, it's like everything, all of the understanding follows that afterwards instead of coming beforehand. Interesting.
It's like, it really is just like the lie is, you got to do this before you do that. It's just not the way it works.
No.
Did you have something?
Yeah, I just... That, because that, I think that phrasing was, came from the email class, and I was, had this little insight about it, that I saw that, just like was just said, that the action does come from this change in consciousness, and that, but so often what happens is that, because in my experience, that the action comes from an insight. Mm-hmm. So there's this insight, and then there can be this process of like, oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God, and I can just sort of rest. Now that insight's going to carry me forward, but of course it won't.
Right.
What happens is everything closes back down, and the insight goes away. I mean, it doesn't really go away. I think it's always there on some level, but that what I saw was then following that up with the action allows the insight to be integrated, which is the change in consciousness.
When you just said that, and you just pictured it, it now gets to live, rather than filed away in this drawer to like, to noodle over, or basically become useless.
Yeah, so it's like insight, the compassionate self-discipline is then put that, do the action that goes with that,
right.
And then the consciousness changes.
Yeah. That's our time. Thank you all.